Our scripture reading today will not be the one that's printed in your bulletin. I will be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verse 14 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to God, who has made him known."
Because of Christmas and New Year's Day, the deadlines for our Sunday bulletins have been much earlier than usual. Monday at noon, I needed to let Deb know my text and sermon title. I had the text for her, but I didn't have a title. The text was easy. It's Epiphany. I have to preach on the Magi going to see the Christ child. I knew that I just preached on that text last year on Epiphany, but isn't it really the text for every year on Epiphany Sunday? We don't talk about or preach about the Magi any other time of the year, but on this Sunday. So I emailed the text to Deb. Brian and I were still in California, Southern California, visiting my dad. Have I mentioned that it was in the high 70s during the days? Yeah, sunshine every day. It was beautiful, short sleeves. Okay, I digress. I shared with Deb in the email that I knew I preached from the same text last year, and I had no idea what I would do different for the text this year. All week I've been thinking about this text. It's such a good one. One day this week I thought it would be interesting to see how many times have I preached this text. Well, it appears that I have preached from it once in the past 10 years, and that was last Epiphany. I got so excited because I knew that a text I haven't preached from that much means that I have so much more to discover in the text. I got really excited about preaching about the Magi, Herod, the Magi seeing the Christ child, offering him gifts, and then going home a different way. And then Friday night happened. After Friday night, I could not preach any text but John 1, several verses of 1 through 18. A text that we used several times during Advent, including Christmas Eve, and the text that I used for the memorial service for Jim Baumgartner's dad and stepmom in December. Yes, a text that I have used over and over and over again just in the month of December. Not the one that I've only preached from once in the last 10 years. No, it has to be a text that's so familiar and intimate that we can almost say it with our eyes closed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. The text that takes us all the way back to the beginning. The beginning where only God existed. The beginning where God and the Word were one and the same. The beginning where everything is new, where every imaginable possibility for developments and inventions really are new and fresh ideas. The beginning where everything that came into existence came into being through God and through the Word. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word has dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory of God full of grace and truth. And from this Word becoming flesh, we have all received grace upon grace. Friday night, I experienced this text in a different way, and it made me think of Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in The Message. So please listen. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through God. Nothing, not one thing came into being without God. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The light life blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. We all live off this generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of God has made God plain as day. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Now that's a new understanding, isn't it? We go back to the beginning in the Gospel of John and we find God became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Those are the words I found myself thinking on Friday night. But the more I think about it, I think I want to stick with the words that aren't so contemporary. Words that keep that Word becoming flesh 2,000 years ago. After all, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Those are really beautiful words. Using Eugene Peterson's paraphrase makes the text just a little too real. Really. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God became human. God became like you and me and moved into your neighborhood, my neighborhood, our neighborhoods. Isn't that just a little too close? The Word became flesh. Was years ago, hundreds of years ago, in fact, a couple thousand years ago. To say that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood sounds like life just changed drastically for all of us. What about that calendar we have that's brand spanking new, 5 days in? What about all of those dates that are just begging for us to play some sort of church activity, maybe 3 or 4 in one day, as we are so loved to do around here? What about all of our dreams or what we can bring during 2014? All that we can create, all that we can invent, all that we can discover, all that we can. And now we have God living in our neighborhood? We have God living that close to us? Friday evening, I discovered after Mike Cassano called me at 6 p.m. that I was late for our irreverent movie night. I thought the movie started at 7. But it started at 6, and he called me at 6. I knew this, though, because we wanted to watch a movie that was 3.5 hours long. Interesting movie called Hogfather. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to. It's very strange. It will become a holiday tradition for the Irreverent Movie Crew, though. Anyway, Mike called me, and I realized that I was obviously supposed to be somewhere other than my house. I had been cleaning, so I quickly changed clothes, got out of the house before my sweet greyhounds realized what was happening. I opened my garage door, started to get in my car. At the same time, I noticed that one of the children who lived next door to us was in the cul-de-sac playing in one of the snow piles that the lovely snow plows create at the end of a cul-de-sac, right by my drive. I said hello to him, and he said hello back. He is 9 years old, and we share a common love of football. So he asked me how my Saints were doing and if I thought they would win on Saturday, which they did. He then asked about the Cowboys, since that is Brian's favorite team. The whole time I'm talking to him, though, I'm thinking, oh, please don't ask any more questions. I'm so late, and I have to get to church. I don't have time to talk to you. Finally, I was able to say, watch out, I'm going to get in my car and back out now into the cul-de-sac, so get up on one of the snow piles so I don't hit you. He said, I know, I will, see you later, bye. I said, I know, you know, see you later, bye. Normal conversation. As I backed out of my driveway into the street, I could see my 9-year-old neighbor waving his hand from top of one of the snow piles. I thought, oh no, something has happened. I backed to where I could see him out of my driver's side window, and I rolled down my window, and I asked, are you okay? And he said, hey, what is the name of your church again? I said, it's First Christian Church. He said, well, tell everyone I know. I mean, tell everybody I said hello. I said, I will. I told him bye again and drove off. As I got several blocks away from my house, I thought, that's strange. I never told him where I was going. How did he know I was headed to church? Why did he say to tell everyone I know and then change it to tell everybody hello for me? I drove on to church and I tried to keep the conversation out of my brain because it was just so odd. I got to church, and since I bring the computer from which we project the movie, they couldn't start it till I got here. I got busy setting up so that we could start the movie 1 hour late, thanks to me. I didn't think about the conversation again until I sat down yesterday to write my sermon from the text in Matthew of the Magi. Herod, the Magi visiting the Christ child, offering him gifts and then heading home a different way, the perfect epiphany text. And all I could think was the word became flesh and blood and moved into my neighborhood. The word is so close, I'm supposed to tell everyone hello. Don't worry, I don't think my sweet 9-year-old next door neighbor is the Christ child. He is nice, but I don't think he's the Christ child. But he did everything he could to help me slow down and stop. And in his question and his words of telling everyone hello, he reminded me just how close God is with us, to the point that God moves into our neighborhoods. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is not an afterthought. Jesus is not a last resort to get our attention. Jesus is not a last-minute activity for the creating God. This unbelievable moment in time was a gift from God to us, a gift filled with grace upon grace, a gift that is the full revelation of who God really is. God wanted to be with us from the beginning and move into our neighborhoods. As followers of this word that became flesh and blood, we have to look around our neighborhoods and see if we catch that glimpse of God. And since the word did not come for us alone, wherever we look, we must strive to see that fleeting glimpse of God in all of the neighborhoods of this world, that fleeting say hello from God. God has moved in, and the neighborhood as we have known it will disappear. Changes come when God comes to town. It'll be real hard to drive through any part of this world and see homelessness, poverty, and war, knowing that God is there. It will be real hard to live in that house in the neighborhood when a few blocks away, or maybe a few thousand miles away, or maybe several continents away over, there are God's children who are living in garbage dumps or on the streets. When God comes to dwell, it makes this whole big world shrink, sometimes shrink to the size of a child on a pile of snow. Because then we realize that we are all God's creatures, and because of that, we are bound one to the other. Now, if I'd stayed with the text from Matthew, or at least the New Revised Standard Version of John chapter 1, we would not have had to hear and see a paraphrase that makes something that happened so long ago happen right here and right now. A paraphrase that makes it difficult to even back out of your own driveway without catching a glimpse of the God who wants to live with us, dwell with us, and offer us a fleeting glimpse through a tell everybody I know. I mean, tell everyone hello. A paraphrase that makes it difficult to drive to and from the church because every neighborhood we pass is God's neighborhood. And yet, isn't that really what the writer of the Gospel of John wanted us to know? Happy New Year. Hello from my neighbor, and welcome to the neighborhood. Amen.